Okay, so we're in Sefer Shoftim Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and we're beginning to talk about the cycle, what we call the cycle of the Shoftim. And as we'll see, this is a cycle that repeats itself throughout Sefer Shoftim, Bnei Yisrael sin, and we'll see from the Pesukim. So the Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayasu Bnei Yisrael es hara b'inei Hashem, Vayavdu es haba'olim. And just to remind us of the backdrop to this, and this is really the last couple of psukim in Pasuk Ches, Tes, and Yud. Yehoshua dies, and they bury Yehoshua. Following Yehoshua, we have the Zekanim. But then after the Zekanim die out, the psukim say that there's no one left. Right? There's no one who saw, who witnessed the what Yehoshua and the Zekanim witnessed. That generation is gone. The ones who witnessed all the miracles of Hashem bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. And the ones who witnessed everything, they're no longer there. They're no longer there to guide Bnei Yisrael. They're no longer there to inform Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael sin vayasu Bnei Yisrael sarab Bnei Hashem. The Bnei Yisrael start to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. Vayavdu es haba'olim. And they begin to worship the ba'olim. Who were these ba'olim? Ba'olim were idols. The Radak says that these were general idols. Why are they called ba'olim? Because people serve them just as people would serve their master. Right, Baal means a master. So just like people would serve their master, people served these idols, and that's why they were called the Baalim. And the Al-Sheikh points out here that the Navi uses two different expressions. Number one, Vayasu Bnei Yisrael es hara b'inei Hashem, that Bnei Yisrael begin to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. And then, we seem to be getting a little bit more serious here, Vayavdu es haba'olim. So the Al-Sheikh says that in the beginning, they weren't worshipping idols just yet. In the beginning, they were doing smaller sins, minor sins. The Navi does not identify exactly what they were. But they were doing smaller things, they were doing minor sins. And eventually, that led to Vayavdu es haba'olim. Eventually, that led to worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the Al-Sheikh says, this is how the Yetzihara works. Right? The Yetzihara first begins with getting a person to do minor sins. And then once a person is comfortable, so to speak, doing minor sins, then he raises the ante, and he now convinces a person to begin to do major sins, etc., etc. And eventually, it developed into Avodah Zarah. This was not an overnight, says the Al-Sheikh, this wasn't an overnight change and transformation from tzaddikim to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. This was a gradual change, right? The Yetzirah works gradually. This was a gradual change. In the beginning, they start doing minor things. The Yetzirah is chipping away at their righteousness, and then slowly but surely they end up eventually at the level of Avodah Zarah. It brings to mind the Chazal, the Gemara, I forget where now where the Gemara is, but the Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara, when the Yetzer Hara approaches someone, at first it appears as a passerby, right? Yetzer Hara kind of passes by, says Shalom Aleichem, right? Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? How are things? Good? Okay, and then the Yitzhar goes by. Just to introduce himself, so to speak. And then the Yitzhar comes back a second time, once he's already, familiar to you and you know him. Yitzhar then comes back as an oreach. And then he comes back as a guest. Can I stay the night? And then the Yitzhar leaves. And then the third time he comes back, he's a balabas already. Right? Then he's a balabas. So right, the Yitzhar works in gradual, the Yitzhar is very, very wise. So he works gradually, he tries to get you to do things wrong slowly, and then chips away a little bit, and then eventually gets us to do bigger things wrong. I'm sorry?
Like the Mitzrayim did with the Bnei Yisrael when they first started, they were working together, then they slowly backed
exactly, up. Exactly. Right, gradual. I mean, this is the rule, this is the fundamental idea with anything in life. The more gradual we take things, the more lasting they are. So just like it works in the positive vein, it works in the negative vein as well. And here the Yitzhar was doing his trick. So it also shows us how careful we have to be about even the small things. Right? Sometimes people say, it's a big deal. It's minor, it's small, what's a big deal? It's because it starts off minor. It starts off minor and small, and then eventually, we begin doing, bigger things. It's like, one of the big things when a person drives is to make sure their phone is not distracting them. Right, so in the beginning, you start driving. Now I remember when I started driving, my father wouldn't even let me turn on the radio. I wasn't even allowed to have the radio on in the car while I was driving. I had to be 100% focused. And then, then you begin to do one thing, you begin to do the next thing. you know, pretty soon a person is texting at red lights, you know, and then, you know, things are, you know, things you know, things spiral. Sorry?
Escalate.
It escalates. It escalates, you know, slowly but surely. So the best thing to do is to make sure at the outset that we're not doing, you know, that we're careful and even about the small things, and we stick to it. And once we're careful about the small things and we stick to it, the chances of us violating the bigger things is the chance is much smaller. Okay, the Malbim points out that all these psukim actually from pasuk Yud Aleph all the way through pasuk Chaf, and we'll see it really goes almost to the end of the perek. The perek ends at pasuk Chaf Gimel. So, you know, almost really, literally almost to the end of the perek, he says this is one big maimer hamuska, this is one big parenthetical comment that really sets the stage for the whole rest of Sefer Shoftim. That's how he understands it. And he says that it really discusses this pattern of sin. And he says they descended really to three levels of sin. He says, number one, they begin sinning against the mitzvos of the Torah, similar to what the Alshech is saying, although he elaborates a little bit more than the Alshech does. But he says, number one, and presumably that's the Vayasu es hara b'nei Hashem. Right? Number one, they start sinning against the mitzvahs of the Torah. So Hashem says to do this, they don't do it. Hashem says don't do something, they do it. Right? So that's level number one. Level number two is the beginnings of Avodah Zarah. And this is interesting, where the Malbim says that at first, they did not worship Avodah Zarah straight out. They didn't worship Avodah Zarah purely. What did they do? At first, they began to worship Avodah Zarah b'shituf. What's Avodah Zarah b'shituf? Shituf is a partnership, right? Shutfin is partners. So what did they do in the beginning? They were worshiping Hashem, but then they began to worship other things as well, right? Other things with Hashem. You know, and then slowly but surely, it eroded and evolved to become full-fledged Avodah Zarah without a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture at all. In fact, the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah that that's how Avodah Zarah began, right? Because people believed in Hashem. Even the Dor Enosh, they believed in Hashem, they followed Hashem, but they saw that there's a sun, and there's a moon, and there are stars, and they figured to themselves, listen, you know, instead of us davening to Hashem for everything, you know, He obviously controls the sun, He controls the moon and the stars, why don't we daven straight to the moon and straight to the stars as intermediaries to Hashem? Not in place of Hashem. At first they weren't replacing Hashem with the Avodah Zarah. At first they were davening to these things as intermediaries, almost like Shituf, right? And then eventually, once you start doing that, so then, you know, after a couple of years, the next generation, it leads to full-fledged Avodah Zarah. So that's how things develop. So again, according to the Malbim, these are the three levels. Level number one, sinning against the mitzvos of the Torah. Level number two, Avodah Zarah b'shituf, which is worshipping Hashem with idols as well. And then level number three is full-fledged Avodah Zarah, just worshipping idols and forgetting completely about Hashem. And that's how these things developed and evolved. They abandoned, right? They abandoned Hashem, the God of their fathers, Hamotzi Osam Eretz Mitzrayim, who took them, who redeemed them from Mitzrayim, right? Pesach is the word Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, or within the 30 days of Pesach. We can already begin to speak about Pesach. Vayelchu Acharei Elohim Acherim Me Elohei Ha'amim Asher Sivi Hoseihem, and they began to follow the foreign deities, right? That were the deities of the nations that surrounded them. Vayishtachavu lohem, and they worshipped them. They bowed down to them, literally. They worshipped them. Vayachitzu es Hashem. And they angered Hashem. This angered Hashem. So there's a fascinating Malbim here. Well, before the Malbim. So the Alshech says here that, he understands, similar to the Malbim, that this Avodah Zarah did not start as full-fledged Avodah Zarah, but it started as this Avodah Zarah b'shituf. It started as, you know, Avodah Zarah with other things as well. And they kind of were thinking to themselves, listen, you know, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's up there in the upper realms, and then he's got these messengers that are in the lower realms. So he's got the sun, the moon, and the stars. He has the other forces of nature that are in the lower realms. And they're thinking to themselves, you know, hey, well, you know, if Hashem controls everything from up high, chances are that these other forces that are much closer to us can probably control things also. Because after all, Hashem is, quote-unquote, further from us. Right? Again, the perspective that Hashem is in the heavens. Hashem is further from us, and these forces of nature are much closer to us. So if Hashem can control us, then certainly these forces can control us as well. and they begin worshiping in that sense, you know, worshiping these forces to say that they can also be mashkiach upon us. And then, again, things evolved and things changed, and eventually they began worshiping lahachis, worshiping against Hashem, and that's when they anger Hashem. That's what he says. That's towards the end of the pasuk. The Malbim says here something fascinating, though. The Malbim says, you know, what's the big problem with avodah zarah b'shituf? You know, we believe in God, right? We believe in God. Believe in God. You worship God. It's okay. So you worship also the force of whatever, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the forces of nature. You know, so why is that such a big deal? What's the problem with that? So the Malbim says that the problem really lies in our pasuk, because what does the pasuk say? Vayazu es Hashem, they abandoned God. Which God? Hashem Elokei Avosam. Hashem Elokei Avosam, Hamotzi Osam Meyaretz Mitzrayim. Says the Malbim, why do we mention all these things? And he says, you know, sometimes you find it just says Hashem, sometimes it says Hashem Elokim, and sometimes it says Hashem Elokei Avosam. Why are we referencing here Hashem Elokei Avosam? So he says, because here, what the pasuk is focusing on is the unique relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Bnei Yisrael. God is the God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the entire world. He's the God of us, He's the God of the Muslims and the Christians, He's the God of the atheists, He's the God of everyone. He's the God of the animals, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. Hashem is the ruler of the entire universe, right? That's what Hashem is. But that wasn't the sin here. The problem was that Hashem is also specifically Elokei Avosam. Hashem has a unique relationship with us, Bnei Yisrael, because He had a unique relationship with our fathers, with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who recognized Him for the first time, who had relationships with Him for the first time, who made covenants with Him for the first time. Right? Because of that unique relationship of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Elokei Avosam, therefore we, as their children, as their descendants, we have a unique relationship with Him as well. We don't have the same relationship with God as the other nations of the world. We don't have the same relationship with God as the animal kingdom or the plant kingdom does. We have a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a unique, singular relationship with Hashem. So says the Malbim, that what's the pasuk in the Navi telling us here? Because you have a unique relationship with Hashem, meaning He treats you differently than He treats everyone else, because you're Bnei Yisrael, you're the children of the Avos, you also have to treat Him differently than all the other forces in the world. He's different than the other forces. You have to have a singular relationship with Him, different than you have with the other forces of the world. So it's true that there are other powers in the world who get their koach, who get their power from Hashem. And theoretically, for someone else in the world, and this has interesting, theological repercussions, but for other people in the world who don't have that singular relationship, it's not as big a deal for them to worship Avodah Zarah B'Shituf. We've actually seen this before. The Malbim, I'm just remembering it right now. Somewhere in Sefer Shoftim, the Malbim says a similar thing. Right, where the Malbim says that for a non-Jew to worship Avodah Zarah B'Shituf is not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. Why? Because for a non-Jew, he doesn't have a singular relationship with Hashem. He has a general relationship with Hashem. He has a global relationship with Hashem, the same way everything else, everyone else and everything else in this world has a relationship with God. He's not one of Bnei Yisrael, but Bnei Yisrael have a singular relationship. Because of their singular, unique relationship, we have an obligation to treat Hashem in a singular and unique way, worshiping Him alone, not with other forces, not with other ideas, just Him alone. And the reason why I said this has interesting theological repercussions, and we mentioned this at the time when we learned the last Malbim, is that there's a machlokes if a non-Jew worships Avodah Zarah B'Shituf, right? If he worships Hashem with other gods, with other deities, is that considered Avodah Zarah or not? Non-Jews are not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, just like we're not. It's one of the Zion Mitzvot B'nei Noach, one of the seven Noahide laws, right? So they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. But the question is, if they worship God with other forces, is that Avodah Zarah? Is that considered Avodah Zarah? And the big nafkamina is Christianity today, right? Where they worship God, the same God that we worship, but then they also worship other deities with that God. Is that a problem or is that not a problem? Right? Is that called Avodah Zarah? Is that not called Avodah Zarah? And the Malbim seems to be indicating that Avodah Zarah B'Shituf is only problematic if you're a Jew. If you're one of Bnei Yisrael, where it's Elokei Avosam, then it's a problem of Avodah Zarah B'Shituf. But otherwise, it's not. Not all poskim agree with that, and you know, seemingly, at least from a halachic standpoint, we seem to assume that it is considered avodah zarah. But it's a very interesting comment of the Malbim here, which has really wide theological ramifications. And he says also that, that the reason why he mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim here is because that's really when this unique relationship with us as a nation began. Originally, it was only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim with his family, right? And then, you know, we began the whole process of Shibud Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's when the unique relationship with us as a nation began. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us, I'm treating you differently than everybody else. I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim with miracles, nisim, v'niflos, Esther Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, let's go. We're going to Eretz Yisrael, right? So that's when these things, that's when these things began. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayazvu es Hashem. Vayazvu es Hashem. Again, it repeats. Vayazvu es Hashem. Vayavdu la Baal v'la Ashtaros. Okay? And they worshipped the Baal. They worshipped the Baal. Again, the reference to Avodah Zarah. And Ashtaros. And Ashtaros. What are these Ashtaros? Ashtaros also were idols. The Radak says Ashtaros are female sheep. Okay? So, and he says that the idols were in the form of these female sheep. We know from the Mitzrayim story that Mitzrayim used to worship sheep, right, which is part of the reason why they were very against, you know, why the Bnei Yaakov were so nervous, because they were shepherds, right, and the people of Mitzrayim didn't like that. And then we were told to take a Selavei Savo Selavais, we're supposed to take a set to bring as a Korban Pesach, and they didn't like that either, right? So that's where we know that from from Mitzrayim. Excuse me. But others worshipped them as well, and that was the Ashtaros. And Baal was the general Avodah Zarah. But these were all the names of Avodah Zarah. And here it says the Malbim, this is where the transition began from Avodah Zarah B'Shituf to just plain old Avodah Zarah. Right? Plain, full-fledged Avodah Zarah, ignoring God, just focusing, just worshipping Baal, just worshipping Ashtaros, and that was it. Ashtaros Karnayim. There was a place called Ashtaros Karnayim, yeah. Probably has something to do with sheep, which is probably why it's named that. I don't remember offhand why it's named that way. Interestingly, the Malbim points out that both Yud Beis and Yud Gimel both use the wording of Vayazvu es Hashem, right? But in Yud Beis we say Vayelchu acharei Elohim acherim, and in Yud Gimel we say Vayavdu labal. Right, so why in Yud Beis do we say Vayelchu acharei Elohim acherim, and here we say Vayavdu labal? And says the Alshech, I'm sorry, that in Pasuk Yud Beis Vayelchu is because we were kind of on the process. You know, again, we're still worshiping Hashem. We're in the process here of trying to find out, you know, how this is going to go. You know, can we do Avodah Zarah B'Shituf? Can we worship other things? But in Pasuk Yud Gimel already we're transitioning. Right, it's already Vayavdu. Right, we're no longer experimenting. Now we're full-fledged, you know, worshippers. Okay, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Excuse me. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael. And Hashem is angry at Bnei Yisrael because they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. Vayitnei b'yad shosim. And he gives them into the hands of the shosim. Literally, the shosim are the oppressors. Right? The Mepharshim say shosim, it means to tear them apart. Right? These are the oppressors that wanted to literally, to tear us limb from limb. Vayashosu osam. And they tore them apart, right? They oppressed them. Vayim kerem biyad oyveihem. And he sold them, literally, you know, it sounds like, not literally sold them, but he sold them into the hands of their enemies, misaviv, I'm sorry, the enemies that lived around them. Velo yachlu od la'amod lifnei oyveihem. And they could no longer stand. They no longer had the strength. Bnei Yisrael no longer had the strength to stand up. To stand up to their enemies. The Mitzudas David here says that Vayim Karem Biyar Oyvehem Misaviv. He says that we're talking about the local enemies, right? This is not people that were coming from afar that were oppressing the Jews, Bnei Yisrael, and then going home and then leaving, right? These were people that lived with us, right? They weren't going anywhere. So once they had the koach, once they had the power, and they overcame us. And now they oppressed us. Nothing was going to change. They weren't going home. Right? It's not like very often in the ancient world, you had these armies that came from far away, and they would come and they would conquer, and then they would go home. You know, they would leave. It's not like that. We're talking about the enemies that lived among us. They were the ones who were oppressing us, and they weren't going anywhere. In the end, we were okay. In the end, we were able to withstand a little bit. But he says, you see, that this was the cycle of the Shoftim. We were weak by the end, by the time they were oppressing us, and they didn't let up. We were weak. We had no strength to stand. And the Malbim says that in this pasuk we see the three levels of punishment, just like we spoke about the three levels of sin, right? Sinning against the Torah, Avodah Zarah B'Shituf, and full-fledged Avodah Zarah. So here the Malbim says we have the three levels of punishment as well. Number one is Shosim. Says the Malbim, what's Shosim? Shosim are the enemies that come to plunder. They come to take our money. They come to steal our property. Right? That's the idea of the Shosim. Vayim Kirem B'Yad Oyveihem, says the Malbim. What is that referring to? That's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepping back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, works with us. He operates with Hashgacha Pratis. Right? He got the divine intervention in our lives. But what does he do when we sin? He pulls back. And he says, you know what? I'm going to leave the Jews up to Teva. I'm going to leave them up to nature, just like the rest of the world runs through nature, runs through Teva. B'nai Yisrael, usually he's more intimately involved, but when we sin, Hashem says, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to leave them up to Teva. When it comes to Teva, sometimes, if we're strong, we're able to defeat our enemies. But if the enemies are stronger than us, we're not going to do it, right? Nature's going to rule. And then number three, says the Malbim, is that Hashem did not just pull back and allow nature to take its course, but Hashem actively punished us. He stepped in to give us a patch. He stepped in to give us a punishment. And what was that active punishment? That's Pasuk Tesvav, says the Malbim. B'chol asher yatzu yad Hashem ha'isavam l'ra'ah. I'm sorry, b'chol asher yatzu yad Hashem ha'isavam l'ra'ah. That wherever they went, Hashem's hand came upon them for bad, right? A patch. Hashem came and punished us. Kasher diber Hashem, just like he warned us, right? It's not like we never got a warning about this. Hashem warned us. You look throughout the Torah, time and time again, it says, if you don't follow my ways, if you follow Avodah Zarah, what's going to happen? You're going to get punished. You're going to get a patch. V'kasher nishba Hashem lohem, just as Hashem promised them and he swore to them, v'yetzer lohem me'od, and he caused them a lot of tzaros. He caused them a lot of tzaros. And again, the Malbim says, that's why in this pasuk it says, yad Hashem ha'isabam l'ra'ah, because in the beginning, punishment number two, again, punishment number one is just taking our property, taking our money. Punishment number two, Hashem pulls back and he allows nature to take its course. That means the nations that are stronger than us will defeat us. Enemies that are stronger will defeat us. But then number three, that's this pasuk, Yad Hashem ha'isabam l'ra'ah. That's the hand of Hashem. That's the patch. That's Hashem coming in and actively punishing us, which means that sometimes even if our enemies were not naturally stronger than us, Hashem would allow them to defeat us. Right? We're no longer just now thinking about the naturally strong enemies. Even the enemies that were not necessarily stronger than us, Hashem would allow them to defeat us. And he punished us to the point of Ayetzer. He punished us to the point that things were very tough. Things were very difficult. And eventually we realized what was going on and we began to do tshuva, but we were at a very, very low place. It's interesting, just the language of the pasuk at the beginning, b'chol asher yotzu, wherever they went out, Yad Hashem ha'isavam l'ra'ah. So the Radak says, the Pashup Shad is that wherever B'nai Yisrael went out to fight, they were not successful. Right? Every time they went to battle, this is in stark contrast to Sefer Yehoshua, where we read time and time again of miraculous battle after miraculous battle. Every time B'nai Yisrael went out to fight, they miraculously defeated the enemy almost without even lifting a finger, without even firing a shot. And here, it's the opposite. B'chol asher yatzu, wherever they went out to fight, Yad Hashem ha'isabam l'ra'ah. Hashem said, no, you're not going to win. The enemies are going to defeat you. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be killed. Right? That's how Hashem punished us. It's very interesting. Rashi and the Radak both mention the Medrash. Rashi quotes it from the Seder Olam, and the Radak just quotes it from a Medrash, that this is actually a reference to something that happened a little later, but it's actually during the time of the Shoftim, which is Megillas Rus. Right? Megillas Rus begins, Vayehi b'mei Shvot ha'Shoftim. During the times of the Shoftim, Megillas Rus took place, and says the Medrash, B'chol asher yotzu, wherever they went out, who are we referring to? Avimelech, Machlon, and Kilion. Because where did they go? They left Eretz Yisrael, and they went to Moab. Right? They left Eretz Yisrael. But wherever they went, Yad Hashem ha'isabam l'ra'ah, Hashem punished them. And Hashem didn't let them escape just by leaving Eretz Yisrael. He punished them. So that's the Medrash. Not the Pashup Shad in this Pasuk, obviously. But the Medrash is that this is an allusion to allusion with an A. This is an allusion to Avimelech, Machlon, and Kilion. Okay, so now things are pretty bad. Again, at this step in the cycle, things are pretty bad. Bnei Yisrael are at a low. They're being punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, actively being punished. Vayetzer, things are at a very low place. They begin to sense that something needs to change. They need to do tshuva. Pasuk Tezayin. Vayakom Hashem Shoftim Vayoshi'um Miyad Shoseihem. Hashem realizes that they need help. Right, we're going to learn also that they also recognize that they need help, and they daven out to they cry out to Hashem that they do need help, and Hashem appoints a shofet. This is what's going to happen time and time again. Hashem appoints a shofet in every generation. Right, it doesn't mean it's even though it's in the plural here, Vayakom Hashem Shoftim, it doesn't mean that there were multiple shoftim. Every generation had its shofet. Right, and we're talking about one per one per era, one per generation. Every generation had its shofet. Vayoshiyum, meaning that Hashem, through the shofet, would save them. How would they save them? The shoftim were not all necessarily, soldiers, and they weren't all giborim, but the job of the shofet was really to give musar. Says that the Mitzudas David says. The job of the shofet was to get up and to give musar, to get up and to knock it into the heads of Bnei Yisrael that you're doing things wrong, you have to do tshuva, you have to improve, you have to better your ways. Once Bnei Yisrael started doing that, then their lives improved. And again, this is, everything, it's directly correlated. How good their lives are and how bad their lives are, whether Hashem is involved in their lives or not involved in their lives, is directly correlated with how well they're doing.
Did Hashem tell somebody what it is? How did he get appointed?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see the stories about how they happen. But, we'll see as each one comes along. Okay. Pretty much. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, some of them were greater tzaddikim than others. Some of them were more famous than others. I'm sure as we go through some of them your names will be familiar to you. Some of them probably like, oh, I never heard of that one. Or, I forgot that one since fifth grade when I learned shoftim last. So some of them were bigger than others, but yeah.
And it wasn't from each shade, it was
just one. There was one, yeah.
One for the whole party.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Okay. Now, the problem is that, halavai, things would just improve and that would be the end of it, but this is a cycle. So what would happen? Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'gamel Shoftehem lo Shameyu. But then what happened was they started not listening to their Shoftim. That was it. Right? So again, they started out doing well, and they started then not listening to the Shoftim. Kizanu Acharei Elohim Acharim. And again, they started straying after these idols, after Avodah Zarah. V'yishtachu lohem. And again, they bowed down, they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Soru maher min aderech asher holchu avosam, and they quickly strayed from the path that their fathers tread. Lishmoa mitzvos Hashem, to listen to the mitzvos of Hashem. Lo asuchein, they didn't do it. Right, they didn't listen. They strayed very quickly, and the Mitzudas David said that's the vegam. Vegam lo shoftim lo shameyu. That this too didn't help. I mean, even though Hashem appointed shoftim and it helped for a short time. Right, each shofet, different shoftim, some of them were longer than others. Some of them, the periods of success were longer than others. But in the long run, it didn't help. In the long run, they went back to their ways. They went back to their sinful ways. And in fact, that's what the pasuk says in Mitzudas David, maher. It happened quickly. This wasn't really even a slow transition. Because since when they were doing the tshuva, why were they doing the tshuva? This is something the Mefarshim say here also. When they did tshuva each time, why did they do the tshuva? Not out of a love of Hashem. They did tshuva because their lives were terrible. Because they were being oppressed, they were being defeated and persecuted and beaten by the enemies. That's why they did tshuva. So, it's not like they felt the tshuva in their kishkas. They were doing tshuva because they had no choice. Because life was terrible, so they had to do tshuva. And now what happens? The shoftim come along, the people do tshuva, life gets better, right? They're on top again, and what happens? They quickly, maher. Right, they quickly just slide right back down to where they were. Because again, it wasn't such a lasting change. It wasn't a lasting change. The Mitzudas Tzion says that's the language of Zanu. What's Zanu? He said it's like a woman who's unfaithful, like a Zona. Right? A woman who's unfaithful and she goes and she has an affair with someone. So that's the mashal of Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. We were an unfaithful wife, right? We went and we did things wrong. We didn't follow what Hashem wanted. We were not committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the right way. And the Malbim says here also, he says that sometimes the Bnei Yisrael strayed after the Shofet passed away. You know, as the Shofet during his lifetime was successful, and after he passed away, they strayed. And sometimes the Shofet, sometimes B'nai Yisrael strayed even during the Shofet's lifetime. And that's why he says, Saru Maher. What's the Maher? That occasionally it was even while the Shofet was still alive. Right? Sometimes even when the Shofet was still alive, B'nai Yisrael already started sinning. They already started going back to their evil ways. Sometimes they waited until the Shofet died, right before they went back to their sinful ways. But sometimes they didn't. Sometimes it was Maher. It was right away. What's the Halach Avosam? And here you have the Alshech and the Malbim. It's such a powerful idea. Says the Malbim, what's the Halach Avosam? They didn't follow. They quickly strayed from the path, Asher Halach Avosam. He says their fathers listened to the Nevi'im. The fathers, the previous generation, they listened to their Nevi'im. But these people, they strayed from the path. They did not listen to the Nevi'im, right? They didn't listen to the Shoftim. They listened for a short while. And then they went back. And then they quickly went back to their ways. Says the Alshech, that's why the Pasuk focuses on Shmiya. Right? What, how does the Pasuk begin? V'gam shoftehem lo shameyu. They didn't listen. And at the end of the Pasuk, Lishmoa mitzvos Hashem. Says the Alshech, because if only we would listen. If only we would listen to the Nevi'im. If only we would listen to the Rabbanim. When they tell us to do tshuva. We wouldn't have all these problems. Right? And again, this is in the times of the Shoftim, and it applies even, you know, throughout Jewish history. But if only we would listen. Right? That's why they strayed from the way of their fathers. Again, like the Malbim says, that the way of the fathers was to listen to Tochacha, to listen to rebuke. That's what brings a person to do tshuva, to hear Musar, and to listen to it. He quotes two unbelievable things. He quotes, number one, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, who says that there are five things that lock, he says literally, they lock the gates of tshuva from a person. They prevent the person from doing tshuva. So two out of them, number four, is Hamevaze Rabosav, says the Rambam, that if a person degrades his teachers, right, he disgraces his teachers, he degrades them, he doesn't take them seriously. Why does that lock the path of tshuva? Because who's gonna help you do tshuva? Your teachers, your rabbis, right? The rabbis, the gedolim, the sages of the generation, they're the ones who are gonna help the people do tshuva. If you're Mevaze Rabosav, if you don't take them seriously and you degrade them and you belittle them, then of course you're not gonna be able to do tshuva. Because who's going to help you do tshuva? Who's going to help wake you up to the fact that you need to do tshuva? That's number four. And what's number five? Obviously, says the Rambam, Hasone es hatochachos. One who doesn't like to hear Musar. Right? And that's, unfortunately, that's, you know, kind of all of us in today's generation. Who likes to hear nowadays that they're doing things wrong? Who likes to be told that they're doing things wrong? But says the Rambam, if you don't like to hear how you can improve yourself, that's going to lock the gates of tshuva. You're never going to be able to do tshuva. Right? Because who's going to wake you up to the fact that you have to change? Who's going to wake you up to the fact that you have to improve, that you have to do tshuva? That's what you need. He quotes also a fascinating medrash. This is in Shmos Rabbah in Parshas Yisro. So he says that Shimu usechi nafshechem, the pasuk in Yeshaya, says that you hear and you get new life to you. You know, when you hear something, it breathes new life into you. So he says, what's this like? So the medrash brings a mashal. And he says how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. He says, imagine, a person falls off a roof, right? Rachmanu Litzlan, a person falls off a roof, or I guess the contemporary example. A person gets into a terrible car accident. So he's got all over his body, he has problems, right? He's got a broken limb, and he's got punctured lung, and he's got a head trauma. He's got medical problems and injuries all over his body, right? So what's he going to do? He's going to come into the hospital, and what do they do? They're going to bandage up his head, and they're going to put his arm in a sling, and they're going to put his leg in a cast. They're going to treat each area independently. You have to, right? If you have injuries all over your body, you got to treat each area independently, and you have to solve each area, right? But says the Medrash, ani eini kach. Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not like that. Right? I'm not like that. A person has ramach evarim. There's only one aver, right? I'm sorry. And he says, and the whole body, he says, is filthy with sin. Right, almost like that person, right, who got into the car accident, whose whole body is full of injury. And here the person, you know, spiritually, a person's entire body is full of sin. Every aver, every limb has done sin, right? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to do? He says, I only need one of your avarim to fix. I only have to put on one bandage. Where is that? The ozen. Only in the ozen, only the ear. Why? Because that's the gateway, right? That's the gateway, just the ozen. The what? Shimu usechi nafshechem, because once the ozen can begin to hear, once your ear can hear the things that it needs to hear the Musar, to hear the rebuke, to hear the fact that we need to improve, that we need to get better, that we need to do tshuva. Once the ozen is healed, the rest of your spiritual body will follow. Everything else follows from that. Everything else flows from that. The ear is the only thing that's necessary. We have to be able to hear. Right? It's such a powerful idea. The Malbim also is alluding to this, but the Al-Sheikh says it really clearly here, that the importance of listening and being open to criticism, being open to recognize that we're not perfect, that we have areas we can improve. And this was Bnei Yisrael's fault at that time. They didn't listen to the Shoftim. They just listened just temporarily because they wanted to improve their lives. So they did a little tshuva and they shuckled and they did tshuva. Their lives got better, but then they just went right back to their ways. They went right back to their sinful ways. They didn't really let it penetrate. Right? They didn't really let the ideas penetrate. And by the way, the Medrash concludes, that's why it's in Parshas Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael, Eiz kol asher asah Elokim l'Moshe l'Yisrael amo. Right? Yisrael, because he had the power of Shmia. He had the ability to hear, and that's what gave him such a great life. That's what gave him the ability to recognize Hashem, and to do tshuva, and to become a better person, and to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. Okay. Pasuk Yud Ches. V'chi heikim Hashem lohem shoftim, v'hoya Hashem im ha-shofet, v'hoshiyam. And again, Hashem again appointed shoftim for them, and Hashem was with the shofet, and he helped them, and he saved them, miyaroiveyam, from the hands of their enemies, kol yimei ha-shofet, throughout the days of the shofet. And again, this alludes to perhaps some of the shoftim were longer, kol yimei ha-shofet, that the people did okay throughout the days of the shofet, and only went back to their sinful ways after the shofet died. Ki nochem Hashem mina'akasam. Hashem changed, so to speak, ki nochem, he changed his mind. Right? He didn't want to punish them as much. Why? Mina'akasam, because they davened, because they cried out to him. Right? It didn't say that in the first cycle, so to speak, but here we see that the Bnei Yisrael crying out, but mipnei lo chatzeim v'do chakeim. It's not out of love. Right, that's what Mitzvah Sabbath points out. The people, the Bnei Yisrael, are not crying out of love, which is why it wasn't lasting here. Bnei Yisrael are crying out, "Mivnei lo chatzeim v'del chakeim," because they're being pushed, because they're being persecuted, and they're being oppressed. And the Malbim here also mentions. He says, "Lo chatzeim v'del chakeim." Lo chatzeim is taxes and slavery. Del chakeim is land where they're taking their land. And he says that during the different shoftim lasted a long time. He said, "Osniel and Devorah." He just gives a couple of examples. They had much success, and Bnei Yisrael were in a pretty good place throughout their entire lifetime. But yet other shoftim were already at the end of their life. Bnei Yisrael already sinning. Ehud, Shimshon, and others. And we'll discuss them as we go through the different. We're going to learn. Yeah. We learned about him already a little bit. Yeah. Man, he was the one who married Kalev's daughter, right? Yeah. He's one of the. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Yutes. And now when the shofet died, then yashuvu v'hishchisu me'avosam, again they returned, they went back, and they sinned against their fathers, and again against the ways of their fathers, lalechas acharei Elohim acherim, la'ovdam, u'lishtachavos lahem, and again to follow after the Avodah Zarah, to worship them, and to bow down to them, lo hipilu mima'aleihem u'midarkam akasha, that they didn't, you know, almost like they didn't spare any averas. All the averas that were done by the fathers, they were mekayim all those averos, right? They were very makbid to be mekayim, to do all the averos that their fathers did. That's how some of the Mefarshim understand this. And again, this is referring, says the Malbim, to these are the shoftim that made it throughout their entire life. And once they died, forget it. Bnei Yisrael went back to their evil ways, and once again the enemies terrorized them. Pasuk Chaf, and according to the Malbim, this is the final pasuk in this parenthetical, you know, description of the cycle. Vayichar af Hashem bi Yisrael, and Hashem again got angry at Bnei Yisrael, vayomer, and he said, Yana asher ovru hagoy hazeh es brisi asher tzivisi es avosam. Since Bnei Yisrael, this nation, Bnei Yisrael, it's almost like he's speaking about them like anonymously, it's almost like a slap in the face. Right? He's not even willing to say Bnei Yisrael. This nation, hagoy hazeh, this nation, right, that did not listen, they desecrated the covenant that I had with their fathers, v'lo shamu l'koli, they did not listen to my voice. This is the nation. Once they sinned, they didn't know Hashem. Hashem is angry at them. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Gam ani lo osif lahorish ish mipneihem. Hashem says, I see how it is. I see. You're not going to drive out the nations from among you. You're doing Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, so you know what? I'm also not going to help you drive out the nations. I'm going to make sure that some of these nations stay, just to pester you, just to bother you, and we'll see why in a minute. Lo osif lahorish ish mipneihem. I'm not going to drive them away. Min hagoyim asher ozav Yehoshua vayamos. The Goyim, the nations that Yehoshua left and right before he died. And the Al-Sheikh says here also, we're answering a little bit of a question here, because Okay, you know, the nations that lived where the Shvatim lived, we understand why Yehoshua did not drive them out, because Yehoshua felt this, you know, he did enough, as we discussed. Yehoshua felt he did enough, and now it was up to the Shvatim to kick in and to do their part. But what about the faraway nations? What about the nations, you know, on the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, not in the land of the Shvatim per se, but on the outskirts? You know, then Yehoshua could have knocked them around a little bit just to make sure that they wouldn't come and terrorize Bnei Yisrael. But here the Navi says, no, Yehoshua wasn't at fault. Hashem specifically wanted to leave those nations just so that they could test Bnei Yisrael, as we'll see. And this is Pasuk Chav Beis. L'man nasos bam es Yisrael ha-shomrim him es derech Hashem l'leches bam. That Hashem left those other nations. Again, these are referring to the surrounding nations, not the nations literally within Bnei Eretz Yisrael, but the surrounding nations. Hashem left them there in order to test Bnei Yisrael. Hashomrim heim is derech Hashem, to see, are you going to follow the ways of Hashem? Lelechas bam, to walk in them, to follow the ways of Hashem, kasher shom ravosam imlo. Or are you not? Are you going to follow the ways of your father, of your fathers, or are you not? So this was, in a sense, it was twofold. This was a punishment, and it was also a test, right? Hashem left these nations there as a punishment, but also as a test to see how Bnei Yisrael would do, and if they would form treaties with them, if they would not drive them out, etc. And then finally, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayanach Hashem es Hagoyim Ha'ela, and Hashem left these nations, He allowed them to be there, Levilti Horisham Maher. He didn't let them drive them out quickly, as it says in the Pasuk, we know in the Torah it says, that the Pesukim say that Hashem, you know, said that these nations are going to stick around. Right, la'at la'at. We're not going to allow them to be just driven off very quickly. V'lon nesanam b'yad Yehoshua. He didn't allow them to. He didn't allow them to be defeated at the hands of Yehoshua. And this is what Yehoshua warned the people. He said, "You have to be careful. You have to be careful about these nations. And if you leave them there and you start making treaties, then you're going to do avodah zarah, and they're going to cause you a lot of problems." Which is exactly what happened. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. This is the end of Perek Beis, and Amir Hashem, next week we'll begin Perek Gimel, and started the story of Shoftim.